Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, asked alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fixed his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. As the lame man which was healed held to Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'm interested in this phrase, "Silver and gold have I none." I want to preach on this subject for just a few minutes tonight. Something better than silver and go. I'm proud for that tonight. Thank God. I'm glad that there's some things that money cannot buy. You can have all the money that you could carry and then still miss heaven. But I'm proud for God's good grace. And there is something better than silver and gold. The Bible says in Job 28 and Proverbs chapter number 3 that wisdom and understanding is better than silver and gold. So there's a lot of things that's far better than anything of riches and gain that we could ever have in this world. Here in this passage we see that Peter and John is a type of the church, and the lame man is a type of the world, or the lost man. And here he was placed at the temple gate. I probably would say that he took it to be a good place to be, to get something from the church people, if they laid him right in the door. Well, that might have been a good thing in that day. But in our day, if you're in the church door, you better get something from them going in. Because they ain't got time for you when they coming out, honey. Why? But here they laid him right at the gate. And so in our day, we in such a rush and we go by time and we got to be somewhere else, and we're always late, and so you better get out of our way when the amen is said, because we headed somewhere else. But here in our passage, you'll see in verse number 5 that he expected something of them. And the world has a right to expect something from the people going in and out of the church door. I mean, they've got a right. And we'll say, well, that old sorry thing, said that's good enough for him. But he's got a God-given right to expect something from us that go in and out of the church doors. He's got a right to expect. If you've got up a church sign, he's got a right to expect a church and not a social club. That's right. He's a sinner man, the lost man on his way to hell, and you got up a church sign, that's exactly what he expects to find behind that sign, is a church sign and not a social club, and he has a right to that. He has a right to expect a church. not a social club. He has the right to expect Christ and not a seminar convention. That's right. You can say amen right there. He's got a right to expect that. And thank God he has. And this crowd having all these seminars and whatever nars that they have, I found out it's just a good excuse for some woman to preach. Nod your little heads up and down like that. I'm saying to you that the sinner has got a right to expect something behind the church side. And he's got a right to expect a change and not a self-covering. That's right. You know what a hypocrite is? He's not himself on Sunday. That's right. That's exactly what a hypocrite is. He's not himself on Sunday. But a sinner's got a right to expect a change and not a self-covering. And cover yourself up with self. Self will run out, but I'm glad, thank God, the Savior will stay around. I'm glad for that. Thank God he has that right. Let me give you three things I'm through. Now watch your Bible, verse number one. Something better than silver and gold is a people that are different. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now you'll see that in their prayer life, they're different. That's right. Their prayer life is different. And our prayer life ought to be different. There was something about their prayer life. One thing about it was that it could be seen. That's right. Three times a day, that'll boil in at the gate, crippled and couldn't help himself. He saw their prayer life. Now, a lot of times somebody will ask us to pray, and we'll say, I pray. And they'll be sitting in the same church you're in, and they never see you go to the altar. That's right. And some of you will come in the house of God, and you'll be saying, God, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Such and such, I've got to have you to pray for me. And we'll give all the call, and you will never come and pray yourself. That's right. You'll never come and pray yourself. But they are different in their prayer life. Boy, if there's anything in my life that I'd want people to say, well, said you look at that old man, and said you hear that old man, and said you set your watch by his prayer life, that you see him going in and out to the altar and a praying. Thank God we have the privilege of praying and we don't use it, but it's better than silver and gold. It'll do for you something that you never can get done any other way. And there's something different about their prayer life. He's laying there watching them. Something different about their personal life. Now watch your Bible. Verse number 4 and verse number 5. And Peter faced his eyes upon him with John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Now, I'll tell you what. You better be lined up with God when you tell somebody to say, well, look at me. I ain't too much to look at. Some of your wings ain't as wide as you think they are. That's right. But I tell you, we ought to be when we walk by a sinner and he said something to us, what to say? I want you to look what God said. You look at me. Said I was nothing. I was a nobody. I was laying in the dirt like you was, but Jesus come by and lifted me. Thank God they had something different about them in their personal life. And I'm glad that we can be different. You know what you are? You're exactly what you are when you're by yourself. That's the real you. Now, if you want to know what you are, just check up when you're by yourself. And you'll find out who you really are if you'll just check on yourself when you're by yourself. But here are people that are different. And when he comes to the house of God, we get the sinner to come. You don't expect that swimming suit crowd to be singing in the choir. Hello? Some of you ought to have done shouted. I'm saying, he don't expect that, and he's got a right. Yes, he has, but he's got a right not to expect that. And he don't expect the Saturday night dancers to be Sunday school teachers. He's got a right. He don't expect that crowd he's been with Saturday night to be carrying on the business out of the church house. Like, why different? There's something better than silver and gold. People that are different. Now watch your Bible, chapter 2 and verse number 41. Something better than silver and gold is a place that's dedicated. Chapter 2 and verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there are added unto them about 3,000 souls. A place that's dedicated to what? The Word of God. That's what this place is dedicated to. And that is the only thing that it'll stand on, is the Word of God. So, if it's built on anything else, it will not stand. So a place that is dedicated to the Word of God. I've been preaching all over this country for many, many years. I go back to the same place sometime over and over. Some places I've been going 20-something years. And some places I didn't go back. And some places I still don't. One shot, and that's it. But I was preaching in a church in Tennessee, and I preached there several years. And the former pastor stayed on. Resigned and stayed, and a friend of mine took the church, and so I went there and preached for him 2 or 3 years. And I got there 1 year, and I missed this other preacher. And, of course, I asked the pastor, I said, where's preacher so-and-so? And he said he left. I said, well, what was it? What did he leave? He said, well, him and some more people left. I said, well, why? He said, I preached on tithing. And they left. I said, say what? Said, I preached on tithing. And they left. I said, good riddance. Hobos. Hitchhikers. That's right. I said, thank God. Let them go bomb off of somebody else. I said, but they'll vote to spend your money. That's right. If you don't put that tie in that plate, don't raise your hand and vote on nothing around here. I'm saying to you, I said, thank God. I said, we got enough hobos and enough hitchhikers. I said, I'm glad he's going on down the road. It's dedicated to the Word of God. It's dedicated to the worship of God. There's places you go and they worship in man. Oh, this is so-and-so's church. And then they got them a preacher, and they act just like somebody that they follow. They all act just alike. I know who they've been following when I see them. I can tell. I can tell who they've been worshiping. I tell whose manual they're going by. I've got the manual. It'll make you act right. It is dedicated to the worship of God. I said, well, where did he go and where did they go? Said, well, I went down the road and built a building. And started church. I said, what kind of church? And they said, undenomination. I said, ain't no such animal. I said, that ain't a church. But I said, but if I didn't tithe, I wouldn't want nobody to know what I was either. Hey! I'd rather be on something. If I didn't tithe, if I had to sell peanut brittle and ride bicycles and have cakewalks and bake sales, I wouldn't want nobody to know who I was either. And this is what the preacher said. He said, in the bylaws, in the minutes, said it's not built on the Word of God. It's dedicated to sin. He said the only time to have preaching is when they can't get a singing group to come. I said, well, hallelujah. I'm glad they won't starve a preacher to death. I said, if they ain't tithing, they can't pay a preacher no way. I said, let that bunch of singers come and sing. I like singing well as anybody. I love good singing, but that ain't what this is built on. Thank God this is dedicated for the Word of God and for the worship of God. Hallelujah to it that day. There is something that's a whole lot better than silver and gold. Ain't we having a time tonight? People that are different. Place that's dedicated. Let me give you this something. Something better than silver and gold is a person that's divine. Verse number 12. Now watch your Bible. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnest on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? No, it wasn't by their power or by their holiness, but it's that person that's divine in his power. And if he don't show up, you can forget it. But when that person that's divine in his power shows up, now watch it. I just read it to you in verse number 12. That makes people marvel. That's right. He'll make people marvel when he gets here. And the one that's divine in his power, he come and the crowd begin to marvel. Now watch your Bible, verse number 11. The person that's divine in his power makes people move. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together under them that porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When that person comes that's divine in his power, makes people move. That's right, you don't have to prime them, you don't have to pump them. You don't have to tell sad stories, but thank God when he comes in his power, he makes that crowd move. They all begin to move. And that's what we need back in our services, is old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. You don't have to talk them into nothing. Just get out of the way, son. Just get you a traffic director and move over. Why? Hallelujah for that old-timey power that we used to know in our services. I remember when the old-time power of the Holy Ghost used to fall, and God would move, and people would move. And so here we see that it makes people move. I like verse number 11. And as a lame man which was healed, held of Peter and John. There was one man said that the reason why that he was holding on to Peter and John was that he was afraid that he was going to be crippled again. Now, if you believe that, don't sleep on the side of your head tonight. What little brains you've got might run out of your ear. And I tell you something else, your pillow won't be soaking wet in the morning. Son, when God does it, he does it right. Now, let me give you the truth. When God does something, you don't have to prop it up. That's right. You don't have to prop it up. But that crowd that does it themselves, by their own works, they got to keep it propped up. Oh, no. Thank God when God does it, you don't have to run around, prop them up all the time, said, well, so-and-so, well, he'll be all right, and we're bathing them and we're holding them up. No, no, no. When the God of all grace does the work in their heart, you throw your props away. He wasn't propping them up. Well, I'll tell you what you'll do. The man of God that come by and told you
about somebody that's better than silver and gold, and God saved you. When you see him, you just kind of want to hug on him. You want to be close to him. That's the reason why he run up there and took a break. Hugged him a little bit. Why? Because they told him something. This crippled boy. The cripple with a cup met the couple with a cure. Don't have to say that again. Person that's divine. Thank God he's divine in his power. But now watch it. He's divine in his praise. Verse number 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, this old boy had never been to a new convert class. And ain't nobody told him, said, boy, you ought to shout. Why? Under God, they couldn't catch you. That's right. Ain't nobody told him, said, you ought to shout and give God the glory. That other crowd couldn't even, that other church crowd. Couldn't even catch up with him. Well, I'll tell you what, God will put a shout in your soul. But in that praise, it makes people watch. Now, there's a watching him. That's right, and I'll tell you what people do in this building. You let somebody, let God get on somebody real good, and then make a round or two, and we'll have some watchers. Because you don't want him to come close to you. Because you're afraid he's going to want you to make a lap with him. And watchers. That's what Joe Arthur told old preacher Earl Hughes. Joe was a preacher holding a microphone. Boy, and God got on me, run by Earl. And says, yeah, Earl, hold this. I got to run. He said, give it to somebody else. I'm going with you. Hey, well, it's about the way it is. Don't hand me nothing. I'm going with you. Amen. I'm saying you thank God it's something about that time that you're watching. When people go to praising God, people will watch. Now watch verse number 11 again. Not only people watch, but people wonder. As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together, and the poor city called Solomon's greatly wondering. My God, some of them's are watching. And some of them's are wondering. And some of them's are saying, well, I really wonder. Brother Tim, I really wonder if God is God really in this? That's right. Yeah. It's God. Said, is God really in all this shouting, testifying, and running? He said, I wonder. I was in a camp meeting. I always preach in a camp meeting Thanksgiving week. I close to home, been doing it for years and years and years. And one night I got up on Friday night to close it out, and I was going to preach on when God butts in. But before I could read my text, God butted in. Boy, that's when it's good. I'm talking about when he gets about 35 minutes ahead of you. And God butted in. There's a lady popped up over on my right. She said, preacher, first time I ever heard you, I thought you was touched. I knew what kind of touch she meant. I said, well, I am. I said, but the business I'm in, it kind of helps to be touched a little bit. People I have to fool with. Yeah, man can't do this and have a whole lot of sense. Wonders. And then they went to popping up all over the building. Everywhere. Everybody wanted to testify. Everybody wanted to shout. Everybody wanted to do this. Everybody wanted to do that. There's a family there. Brother Ken is a family there from Indiana doing the same. A man, a woman, and the kids, and one of the girls was grown, and she got up and went to crying, and she finally got out what she's trying to say, and we was all listening, and I'm going to stand up here having to try to moderate all this. So I just kind of referee, you know, I just stand up here. And that's what a pastor does when he don't know what to do, gives it to the evangelist. Anyway, I'm standing up there and she's standing there just a squalling and a bawling. And finally she got it out and said, I've got my wedding set and I ain't got no money to get my wedding dress. My God, there's a big old ugly fella sitting on about the second row. Jumped up and said, honey, how much is that wedding dress? And she told me, he said, praise God, that ain't no problem. But she just bought that wedding dress. Somebody else jumped up over yonder and said, I'm telling you what I'm going to do for next year. I'm going to build 3 cabins out China for some of these preachers. That's a hallelujah to God. Thank God. We're getting folks mad. We're getting buildings built. And some of them's wondering. And one preacher got up and gave his car away with my hand up. It was given away 3 times. He still drove it home. That's right. I've been trying to figure that out. Only way I could figure it out was God wasn't in it or it was a Chevrolet. Gave it away 3 times, still drove it home. I can give you a number you can call and ask them. Son, I'm telling you, it was a shout that went on and on. Under God, I thought was going to get that girl married to somebody before daylight. We was in Mississippi and her boyfriend's over yonder in Indiana. I thought, my God, they'll match her up with somebody and I'll have to do a wedding before daylight. They give away everything they had. They shouted and they hooped and hollered and it got well toward midnight. I was supposed to be in Tennessee the next day to preach a special service. Well, some wanderers. Just before midnight, they said, God ain't in it. And they got up and left and went to the house. Pulled their clothes off and put their sleeping clothes on and got in the bed. God made them get up, get dressed, come back where we was at. We were still shouting when they got back. But they wondered, said, God ain't in this. You got them watchers. You got them wanderers. But you always have a few worshipers. That's right. Thank God you'll have some worshipers. Well, I'm glad, thank God, there's something that's far better than silver and gold. And that's that person that is divine when he shows up. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. You can go ahead and shout. You can go ahead and praise God. It'll be all right. He expected something. He expected help. He'd come to the right place to get it. This ought to be a place somebody could come and get help. Said, well, that's a good place. Get help. He experienced something. He experienced healing. Benny Hinn wasn't even there. That's right. Yeah, I don't want to run that rabbit. And there was evidence of what happened. And you could understand every word he said. And he exercised what happened. You said, what? Well, he's a praising God. And he had a right. And we have a God-given right to exercise what happened in our heart. Thank God, I'm glad we can run and we can praise God and give Him the glory and the honor. We see the beggar. We see the beautiful gate. And the house of God ought to be the most beautiful place in town. Ought to be the best kept place in town. We see the benefits of grace. We see the breast of God. Thank God, then we see something better than silver and gold. A sinner has a right, a saint has a responsibility, and a Savior has a real peace. Something better than silver and gold. There's some things that money cannot buy. I'm going to give you the message and I'm through. You may not have heard nothing I've said tonight, but you better take this to the house, will you? The lame man's praise and thanksgiving was louder
than is big. That's right. But you let us get in bad trouble. And can't nobody help us but God. You can hear us to the road out there a praying and a crying and a begging God. Then God do it and fix it. And if we ever say anything about it, we'll mumble it so low nobody couldn't even hear us. We got this thing in reverse. His praise and His thanksgiving was a whole lot louder than His begging. God help us, we take so many things for granted. You better not take for granted what God's done for you. Where'd you start? In a house, somebody's house, then a storefront, then I come home, was in the basement, and then God's moved you into this place. You better not forget where God's brought you from. You better never forget what God's given you. You ought to go to some places where I go. You ought to see some things that I see, where people are struggling and got just a handful of people and just barely keeping the lights on. The only reason I can go is because people helped me go to them places. But if I didn't go try to help 10 somewhere that are struggling to stay ahead, I'd be a sorry outfit. If I just preached where there's big crowds and all the shouting and all of that going on, I wouldn't be worth a dime to God. But I'm saying to you tonight, thank God, we ought to be a shouting a whole lot louder. We ought to be a praising God and a thanking God a whole lot louder. But you hear us all a crying and a squalling when we got to have something. But when He does it, we hardly ever say anything about it. Hardly ever mention it. Nobody hears us then, but everybody hears us when we're in trouble. But then when God helps us, we're to be a thanking Him and a praising Him a whole lot louder than our begging. There's something better than silver and gold.